Good morning, and thank you for coming to this session. As well, I echo Maria's sentiments. We value your presence here. I as well have no conflicts or relationships to disclose. So Storm Beginnings received our federal Healthy Start funding in 2004 in an effort to improve maternal child health and lower infant mortality among African Americans. In 2011, we received the Kellogg Foundation grant that allowed us to greatly expand our program. And late last year, we got another Kellogg grant to expand our program with Latinos in our community because we were seeing worsening outcomes with the Latino population. My presentation is only going to focus on our African American work because we don't have enough data yet on our Latino component. We are a partnership of basically every healthcare entity in our community mental health, FQHC, community clinics, community-based organizations, local health department, and an extremely large hospital system serves as the fiduciary for our grants. So Grand Rapids in Kent County, Michigan, with nearly 500,000 people, is the second largest city after Detroit in Michigan. To give a sense of what it's like in Grand Rapids, earlier this year, Forbes came out with two reports. One ranked Grand Rapids as one of the five best cities in the U.S. to live and raise a family. The other ranked Grand Rapids as 52nd out of the 53 largest metropolitan areas in terms of economic opportunities for African Americans. Number 53 was Milwaukee. So your experience of living in Grand Rapids depends to a great extent on the color of your skin. We are a very segregated, hyper-segregated city, and this shows in our infant mortality rates. In 2003, the year that we applied for federal Healthy Start funding, Grand Rapids, with a wealth, and we have Amway, Steelcase, I mean, huge corporations there, incredible wealth. We still had the highest black infant mortality rate of any city in Michigan, worse than Detroit and Flint. As you can see here, thanks in part to our collective efforts to reduce infant mortality, we have made great progress. We've gone from an infant mortality rate of 22.4 per thousand down to 14.9. And the disparity ratio has decreased from 5.2 to just under 3. So we're making good progress, but as you can see here, we're not there yet by a long shot. So our goal, of course, is to reduce infant mortality, eliminate racial disparities, improve the overall system of care, and underlying all this is the promotion of racial equity. We work with women who are pregnant or parenting a child under 2, their children under 2 years of age, and the male partners or male caretakers of children under 2. Last year we served 520 families, and this year we project we will serve over 800 families. So, as you can see, we do not cherry pick our clients. All of them are below poverty. 90% of pregnancies are unplanned. 25 to 30% are homeless. 40% are screening positive for moderate to severe depression. High rates of abuse, alcohol, drug, and tobacco use as well. In fact, we did a 2-year quasi-experimental design study compared to other African-American women on Medicaid. Our clients are statistically more likely to be in extreme poverty, unmarried, have an unwanted pregnancy, smoke and use drugs, be in an abusive relationship, have a diagnosis of depression, prior poor outcome, and be homeless. So remember, those are the women that we're working with. Very high need, facing multiple challenges. So what we do? The core of our program revolves around our community health workers. These are primarily former program participants, so they come with real life experience. They serve as role models, as peer mentors. So they're out doing outreach to recruit and engage these women who can most benefit from our services. They build long-term relationships throughout their pregnancy and for 2 years after delivery. They conduct frequent home visits to provide social, emotional support, education. But beyond these direct services to clients, they also have very strong roles both locally and statewide in advocacy and affecting policy. So, for example, they serve on our FEMA case review teams. They are members of our state's infant mortality reduction and maternal child health advisory board. They serve on our Michigan Community Health Worker Alliance, which is seeking to certify and reimburse community health workers. And we recognize Celeste Sanchez-Lloyd, who is here. She is our program manager, and she does the training. One of her roles is to do the certification training at our community college for community health worker certification. We also provide case management, and again, our community health workers form part of these case management teams along with nurses and social workers. We have a screening tool that stratifies women into low, medium, and high risk, and then there are evidence-based interventions that go along with each risk domain depending on the level of risk and need. We also, of course, link families to whatever it is that they need. Completion of GEDs, housing, education, family planning, transportation, job training, legal services, and so on. We don't only screen and refer for depression, we actually provide depression and mental health services. We have three therapists who do individual counseling, crisis management. They can visit clients anywhere at all, in the home, at centers, clinics, at McDonald's, wherever they want to meet. We also have therapeutic support groups on managing stress, depression, and anger. And we are fortunate that our contracted mental health provider is also a certified trauma-informed care center. As you know now, there's this great focus on addressing adverse childhood events and providing trauma-informed care, so that's what we do. They're also very critical in providing extensive education to our community, healthcare providers, and provide support for our staff as well, as our staff deal with really stressful and challenging situations themselves in their work. Of the women served in our mental health program so far, we find that 90%, we have a 90% referral completion rate compared to 50% industry standard. Our no-show rate is about one-third the rate of other clients. 92% of our prenatal clients completed the program, met their goals, and 94% in substance abuse programs remain clean until delivery. And we also have seen reductions in depression and stress scores. We have a Brush Up for Baby dental program. As you know, periodontal disease is one contributor to preterm birth. So this is for women who do not have access to a dentist, who show signs of periodontal disease, and includes a very intensive education to promote self-care and self-management of oral hygiene. And here too, we've seen improvements. 100% of our clients in this program had significant improvement in tissue health within 3 months, improved oral practices, and reported less anxiety and improved self-esteem. And we're going to take just one moment to share one story on this improved self-esteem. This is my favorite story from our dental program. We had one woman who only talked like this. She never smiled, never talked without covering her mouth. She was so ashamed of the condition of her mouth. This is her before and after. By the time she finished our program, she said, "I made some decisions. First, I'm going to learn how to read. Then I'm going to get my GED. Then I want to become a beautician so other women can feel as beautiful as I do." So. We also have a special interconception care program for women whose previous pregnancy was preterm, low birth weight, stillbirth, or infant death. As you know, these women have a 3 to 4 times higher risk of having an adverse outcome in their next pregnancy. So we have a wellness program, dental care, walking programs, biometric screens, preconception, family planning services. And again, we did a comparison using birth outcome data in the subsequent pregnancy and found that before, let me see, I gotta look at my numbers here. In the pregnancy that got them into our program, the average birth weight was 4 pounds, 3 ounces. And in the subsequent pregnancy, it was 6 pounds, 5 ounces. And for gestational age, the pregnancy that got them into this program, the average was 31.6 weeks. And in the subsequent pregnancy, it was 37.2. weeks gestation. We also provide extensive community education, reaching nearly 1,700 people each year. Community residents, agency staff, healthcare providers. We have effective Black parenting courses, preconception health parties, and our education coordinators is a certified Safe Sleep facilitator. So we do extensive training with grannies, aunties, childcare providers, youth group, babysitters, you name it. Because still, asphyxia from unsafe sleep is the third leading cause of death and completely preventable. We also work, have a very strong focus on promoting breastfeeding. So all of our community health workers and many of our program participants have been trained as breastfeeding peer counselors. We offer weekly breastfeeding support groups, provide childcare and transportation, and have been very successful at bringing women into these support groups. We have a fatherhood program. Again, this would take an hour just to talk about the fatherhood program, but in brief, we also have male community health workers who provide one-on-one intensive case management services in the home. We conduct six-week discussion groups for men. Men don't go to support groups, so we have discussion groups for them, for our men, using the 24/7 dad curriculum. We also have a part-time male mental health therapist. I don't have any data because he just started, but we found that so many of our men are dealing with mental health and substance abuse issues. So now we're providing direct services for them as well. We also have workshops, annual conference with more than 400 men attending. Every month we train a number of barbers on a particular topic of interest to men, and then during that month they discuss that topic with their clientele. We conduct organizational assessments to help agencies become more welcoming to men. We have father-child activities to strengthen those father-child relationships, things like flag football, going to museums. We even have our own assigned friend of the court advocate who has helped us fix clear warrants, fix child support arrears, driver's license inspections, and so on, things that can really help these men achieve their goals. So far we've enrolled 100 men, 60% are at medium risk and 30% at high risk. We've helped of these 132 men, we're able to obtain employment, 10 men regain custody of their children, and we've seen significant increases in male involvement with their partners during pregnancy and their children during infancy. In terms of our program outcomes and service utilization, again, using that same quasi-experimental design study, we find that our clients, remember, we're working with women with significant challenges and barriers, and yet we have better entry into prenatal care, adequate prenatal care, postpartum exam completion, completion of all well-child visits, access to medical home, completion of reproductive life plans, use of birth control, and so on. In terms of breastfeeding, the blue on the left is our clients. The red on the right is PRAMS data. So compared to other African American women, we obviously have much higher breastfeeding rates, initiation rates at 63%, and 32% breastfeeding at 6 months. We don't even have the data. The PRAMS data is almost non-existent for that. It's so low. In terms of child spacing, you also know that having a rapid repeat pregnancy is a risk factor for a bad outcome. In Kent County, nearly half, 46% of all African American women on Medicaid are pregnant again within 18 months of their last delivery. Among our clients, 12% or less are pregnant within 18 months. So again, a significant outcome. Looking at infant mortality rate, this is a rolling rate over 10 years because our client numbers are relatively small. So the blue column on the left is Grand Rapids Black infant mortality, and the orange column on the right is our client infant mortality rate over time. And as you can see, as of end of last year, we were at 5.6, well below. Even we're close to the white rate at that rate. Low birth weight, again, blue is Grand Rapids, orange is our clients. And again, as you can see, we're roughly almost half the rate of the Grand Rapids rate for low birth weight. And the same thing with the very low birth weight rate, less than half the rate of other women in Grand Rapids. So significant improvements. But as you know, infant mortality is affected much more by social determinants and community societal factors than by medical care or prenatal care. So we have a very strong focus on addressing these social determinants through our 85 or 90 member community action network that works on all these issues related to improving maternal child health. Again, this would be like a 3-hour presentation to talk about everything that we do with our community action network. But I wanted to speak just for 2 minutes on our focus on racial equity work. And that is because we are convinced, in large part due to Dr. Liu's research, that racism, compounded by these growing inequities in wealth and income, is the root cause of health disparities, including disparities in birth outcomes. So everything that we do has racial equity woven through it, in addition to specific work actually working on dismantling racism, both individual, institutional, and internalized. So we hold 2-day health equity social dialogue sessions with more than 550 individuals going through this. We have a waiting list. We can't even meet the demand for these sessions. We've trained 17 facilitators to hold difficult conversations on race and racism within their own agencies. We created a toolkit for providers on helping them address racism. We conduct organizational assessments, meaning we work with agencies to look at their policies and practices, compare those to standards, and help them develop plans to move along the process to become racism-free as organizations. We've held community forums, created community guidelines on how to weave a racial equity lens into all program planning and policies. We've held screenings on the Raising of America, as you know, that's big now. Held discussion groups on the racial inequities in early child education. We have the Greater Grand Rapids Racial Equity Network that again works, it's a multi-sectoral approach to improve racial equity throughout Grand Rapids. We work with the state of Michigan on partnership to reduce infant mortality through equity, or PRIME. Again, working to create policies and practices and procedures at the state level that will reduce racial inequities in birth outcomes. We do community organizing through Michigan Power to Thrive, and that's just a small sample of some of the work that we're doing around health equity. As Deborah mentioned, we have a new opportunity. The state of Michigan did invite us to enter into discussions to form a partners, well, they call it Partners for Success. It's a social investment model that seeks to achieve a financial return on investment while achieving a social good. And so we are right now in the middle of creating our economic model based on our historical performance on low birth weights, breastfeeding, and so on, to try and calculate what kind of financial ROI we can achieve if we maintain that same those same outcomes going forward. We've had conversations with investors who are very interested in supplying the funds to invest in this program that is expected to take 7 years, 5 years of implementation and 2 years for the final evaluation and research. So if, and as you know, there are only, I think, 10 pay for success projects going on in the United States at present, and none of them have revolved around maternal child health and infant mortality to date. So this is cutting edge. We're really excited and a little nervous to be involved in this, but we hope to have this in place sometime early in 2016, so we'll keep you posted on how that goes. So, again, infant mortality, very complex issue. Multiple causes and no single easy solution. And we need to work both with individuals, families, communities, and systems, which is what Healthy Start does. Not just us, every Healthy Start project does this. And as you've seen, we're making really good progress, but we're not there yet. We have a long ways to go, and we hope both with support from our community partners, HRSA, Healthy Start, that we will continue to make these improvements in birth outcomes and achieve equity for everyone. Thank you.